Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Jones III, our speaker will be Dr. Doug Jackson, pastor of Community Baptist Church in Saginaw, Michigan. The title of his message is, Please God While There Is Time. The text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 28 through 35.
We have as our chapel speaker today and tomorrow, Dr. Doug Jackson. He's been here on numerous other occasions, pastor in Saginaw, Michigan, president of the Michigan Association of Christian Schools, vitally interested in Christian education, obviously, chairman of the board of directors of Maranatha Baptist Bible College. He himself is a Maranatha graduate from the first four-year graduating class. He was protege of Dr. Cederholm, great giant of the faith, great Christian leader. Dr. Jackson himself is a great Christian leader. He and his wife Kathy and their son Clint are here with us these 2 days. They have twin daughters who are students in Maranatha, juniors in the student body there, sweet, lovely girls. And he's a real friend, and I appreciate his personal friendship greatly. He's always challenging when you're around him. He's full of the love of the Lord. Hope you have your Bibles ready. And I know your hearts are going to be blessed as Dr. Jackson comes today and tomorrow to break the bread of life to us.
Well, it's good to be with you today. Church, you're looking forward to a good day in chapel. Come from Saginaw, Michigan. We outran the snowstorm. It was 4 to 8 inches of snow chasing us all the way down, but we beat it in Kentucky. I let my wife take over and start driving, and she flies, and so we got ahead of it. How many of you folks use Static Guard? I mean, do you use Static Guard down here? You don't have to, do you? Up in Michigan, I mean, we buy Static Guard like milk. I'm bow-legged and pigeon-toed, and I hate it when my suit pants cling to my legs. It makes me even more bow-legged and pigeon-toed. And so I always keep a can in my office and spray my pants before I go up to preach on Sunday morning. And, this was about a while back. I ran to my office. I was running like I normally am between Sunday school and church. And so I grabbed the Static Guard, what I thought was Static Guard, and started spraying my pants. Sprayed both legs really good, lifted my pant legs up, sprayed my legs really good, my socks really good, stuck it back up there, went to the platform. I sat on my seat in the platform, and I started smelling something that smelled like WD-40. Apparently, my wife had told one of the ladies I'd Static Guard in my office and go ahead and use it, and she did, and she put it in the wrong place and right next to Static Guard. I had WD-40 and I wasn't paying attention, so my knees worked better all day, and I gave that suit to the rescue mission. But anyway, I think it could be cut off. A short guy could wear it. But please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Oh, let's all stand as I read a few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Starting with verse number 28. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. And they that weep, as though they wept not. And they that rejoice, as though they rejoiced not. And they that buy, as though they possesseth not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend unto the Lord without distraction. Father, I pray you'd use this portion of Scripture to challenge our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Please God while there's time. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, says that the time is short. Paul is urging the believers to make the most of their time before Christ returns. Time is being shortened, he says. Why? Well, as we go back, we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about meeting with the Lord in that day and giving an account of our lives. And then as he goes on, he tells us in 1 Corinthians 6 that we're not our own. We're bought with a price. We ought to glorify God with our bodies. And in chapter 7, verse number 22, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not the servant of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Paul is trying to get us to understand that there ought to be a sense of urgency in our lives. And that sense of urgency should be there because we recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ could come back at any moment. The imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we think of that, we ought not try to please ourselves, but please God. The Corinthians needed to see the big picture. They needed to see that living for God instead of self or anyone else was the most important thing they could do with their lives. This was the only way to view eternity, making sure that we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes sense. Now get this. Live with the goal of pleasing God. That's what he's saying. Time is short. Eternity is near. Maybe nearer than you expect. The message? First point. The message? 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Keep your purpose in mind. Keep your purpose in mind. Verses 29 and 30. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not. Time is short. Look at that little phrase, time is short. Truth is, life is short. It wasn't that long ago when I was a student. As Dr. Bob said, I was a student at Maranatha Baptist Bible College in the first four-year graduating class from 1968 through 1972. Just seems like yesterday. I certainly don't feel as old as I probably am. I'm saying as I probably am because I've forgotten how old I am. But life is short, no matter how long we live. Life is but a vapor. James chapter 4, take your Bibles and turn there. The Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Remember when my girls were around 10 years of age, they were in, I think, the fifth grade. Their teacher was Steve Farnham. Steve Farnham said, well, the memory verse this week is James chapter 4, verse number 14. Everyone write it. I'll write it on the board. We'll go through it. We'll say it out loud. And then you go home and you work on it tonight, and then we'll work on it again tomorrow. We'll work on it again on Wednesday. We'll have a pretest on Thursday. Then on Friday, we'll take the test. Well, my twin daughters did as their teacher told them to do, and then on Friday, they took the test. But it wasn't until Sunday morning at about 7:15 in the morning that they really understood the meaning of that verse. Their teacher was at home. He took a bite of a donut cooked in peanut oil. He was highly allergic to peanuts, and he started suffocating. Before the emergency team could get there, he went out into eternity. Life is but a vapor. With tears in their eyes, they said, Daddy, we understand what Mr. Farnham was teaching us in that verse. Life is but a vapor. Life is but a vapor. Time has been shortened, meaning Jesus is coming. Consequently, what is your purpose in life? To get married? How many want to get married? Slip your hands up. How many really want to get married? Slip your hands up. Hold them up nice and high. You're really... This is a great dating opportunity for some of you guys. How many want to make money? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand. I know many of you want to make money because money's good. It's good so you can eat. The American dream, to buy a new car. You've got a goal just to graduate. You've got a goal just to get through history classes. I mean, you've got some goals. What is your ultimate purpose? Your ultimate purpose should be to live for God. Whether married or not, whether rich or poor, our lives and our work should reflect the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be striving for fame, for fortune, or just to eke out a living, but it quickly diminishes in time. Clarity of our purpose provides meaning for life. Why am I here? Why am I really here? What should I be doing with my life? I ought to be living my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. I ought to be following His will for my life. I ought to be living for Him. Clarity of our purpose provides meaning for life. What's my purpose? What goals do I have? Without purpose and goals, man is hopeless, and Christians at best are stumbling blocks. I read an illustration. The Chicago Tribune reported on the death of a man killed in a traffic accident. Onlookers watched in horror as the man dashed out into eight lanes of speeding traffic in an effort to chase his hat. He was instantly killed. Observers looked at the tattered hat, shook their heads in silence. An astute reporter covering the accident later wrote, "Isn't it amazing that we are often willing to risk everything chasing nothing?" How true. What truly is important to you? What truly is important to God? In the final analysis, honoring and serving God, living for God, should rank at the top of our list, the list that matters most. 'Tis only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Please God, honor God, live for God. That ought to be our purpose. Second, we see that Paul, in this message, is saying, keep your possessions in your hand rather than in your heart. Notice verses 30 and 31. Here's a great perspective on money and possessions. Paul realized the potential problems in acquiring possessions. Possessions sometimes capture our attention and hinder us from our ultimate purpose. It makes our clear purpose foggy. Possessions, they're fine. They just ought not to possess us. So Paul says, keep your money in your hand rather than in your heart. We are to possess but not be possessed by the stuff of the world. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things he possesseth. Matthew 6:21, the Bible said, Jesus said, for where our treasure is, there will your heart be also. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's not the gifts of life that we should focus on, but the giver of life we should focus on. What's it have to do with me? I'm a college student. I'm broke. I don't have any possessions except these textbooks that I had to buy. I have very little. I don't have any money. I don't have any possessions. Paul's exhortation is not dealing with the amount that we have in our pockets, but what we have in our heart. Our disposition towards possessions. What is our focus? I found a great article. It was actually an obituary, and then a subsequent article after that. The article started out, Mrs. Jones. This Mrs. Jones was not related to either of you, I'm sure. Okay. Just like anybody named Jackson, just because their name's Jackson, they're not related to me. Like, I wear two gloves, I don't moon dance or walk. Everybody understand that? Okay. I want to clarify that. Mrs. Jones left $72,800 for the care and maintenance of the dogs Bozo, Dolly, and Skippy. When the dogs are dead, the remaining money goes to the Walnut Street Baptist Church, Louisville, Kentucky. Now, how many think that's pretty ridiculous? Slip your hands up. Two dog lovers here, they kept their hands down, but the rest of you. All those dollars for Bozo, Dolly, and Skippy. But oh, how that philosophy parallels with 21st century Christianity. We spend on self, accumulate as much as we can, and then give what's left to the cause of Christ. Many Christians have that same warped perspective on possessions as Mrs. Jones of Kentucky had. They fail to have clarity of purpose, and you can see it by the way they handle their possessions. By the way, after reading that article from my own pulpit at home on a Sunday morning, that Sunday night, there was an article on the pulpit, and I'll read it. It said, 2 weeks after the reading of the will, this article appeared in the Kentucky Times. Hit and run rocks town. Three dogs, Bozo, Dolly, and Skippy, found dead at roadside. Pastor held for questioning. His attorney claims the evidence is circumstantial. The dog hair found on the pastor's bumper is of little significance and could have been planted by atheist police officer. DNA test to follow. The church begins a new building program next week. How about it? Where are your possessions? What are you looking forward to in life? Are you looking forward to crowns in eternity? Or bank accounts and stocks and bonds here on earth? First, your purpose. Keep your purpose in mind. Second, keep your possessions in your hand, not in your heart. And third, keep your passion focused on the Lord. Notice verses 32 through 35. These are very interesting verses. But I would have you without carefulness, he that is unmarried, careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Some of you are right away saying, oh great, Paul. You're saying I shouldn't get married, I just started dating. He's not saying that. How he may please his wife. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, and she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit. It's a profit. Not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. The key, without distraction. Serve the Lord without distraction. I don't want you to shortchange yourself. I want you to understand you've got to live for the Lord first and foremost of everything else in your life. Live for the Lord. Paul basically says single adults have an advantage in that they can focus on the things of the Lord without distraction. Paul's point is to be as free as possible to be passionate about God. Verse number 32, he says, please God. Some of you are thinking, right, Paul. Truth is, a lot of you are probably thinking, I won't really be happy until I'm married. Not so. Many people naively think that marriage will solve all their problems. It won't. They think, I won't be lonely if I get married. Some of the loneliest people I've counseled have been married people. Well, it will eliminate a lot of life's problems, difficulties. Wrong. As wonderful as marriage is, it does not automatically eliminate or solve every problem. Right? They're not going to lie to you. Right? Those of us who are married, we know it's right. Eternal takes precedence over temporal. Devotion is the issue, verse number 35. See, it's commitment to God. Wholly committed to God. He will never let you down. Commit your life to God. He is always there for you. Now, people will let you down. How many have been let down by somebody? Slip your hands up. You notice how I get the aerobic exercise deal in my chapels? You notice that? Sure, we've all been let down. I was reading an article about a faithful soldier in Afghanistan. His name was Bill, United States of America soldier. He received a Dear John letter from his girlfriend back in the States. Among other things, she wanted her picture back and told him that she loved someone else. He was a little miffed. Bill was encouraged by his buddies to respond in an unusual way. His buddies pitched in pictures of girls they had known, and Bill sent the following note to his girlfriend with 20 pictures of other girls. I like this. He wrote, "Dear Julie, your picture is in this envelope, but I'm sorry I can't remember which one you are." You like it, huh? "Please keep your picture and send the rest back to me with enduring love, Bill." Now that's commitment. Well, maybe not. Paul is not. I gave some of you an idea, didn't I? Huh? I can see the extra postage in some of those letters going on now. Paul is not imposing any restraints. He wants these folks at Corinth to realize that. This is not a restraint. This is for your profit. Don't misunderstand me. This is what you need to be doing with your lives. The word snare means to throw a noose over. He says in verse number 35, "And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you." That's an interesting phrase. Your plans, your marriage, whatever you want to do with your life. But I want you to focus on your unshakable devotion to Christ. That word snare, let me illustrate it. About 25 years ago, on Valentine's Day, a youth pastor on the other side of town, he worked for my brother-in-law, his wife, Peggy, bought him a boxer dog. Actually, she charged the dog on her credit card. Well, they lived on a busy highway, the Dixie Highway, so they decided to leave the dog on a leash. So if they inadvertently left the door open, or the door open quickly, they could grab the leash and not try to grab the dog. Because, boxers don't have a lot of hair or anything, so it's kind of slick. And so, drool a lot and everything, you know. And so they left that leash on there. Well, they went out for dinner, I think the same day, may have been the next day. But they went out for dinner, and they just left the dog on the leash. And the dog jumped up on the couch and then jumped up on a serving shelf that went from the living room to the kitchen. And from there, it slid off the counter, and the leash got caught on the counter and became a snare. See, that's the snare. And for years, we would greet each other not with high fives, but high ties. And I think you understand that word now better than you ever understood before, right? The ultimate purpose is not to get married, but to please God. The ultimate purpose is not to make money, but to honor God. Paul is not imposing any restraint. or restraints, but he, on your plans, whatever those plans may be, but he says, hey, listen, I want you to keep your purpose in mind, keep your possessions in your pocket rather than in your heart, and please God while there's time. While there's time. Because time is short. Go back, if you would please, to verse number 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Heaven comes for some without much notice. Jesus is coming. We know that. And even if the Lord tarries, Paul says time is short. Heaven, we know, comes for some without much notice. Steve Doucet, the weatherman for Fox News Network, related the story of a businessman who was working on one of the higher floors of the World Trade Center back in September 11, 2001. The hijacked airplane struck the Trade Center. The building rocked and it swayed. The businessman quickly went over to his computer and sent an email to his son. Son, our building has been hit. See you in heaven. Love, Dad. And with that, he hit the send button. Minutes later, his son checked his email and found the note from his father. Heaven is real. We may have little notice. Are you ready? Jesus has sent us a note and told us he's coming again. The note is in this book, God's Word. Are you ready? Are you living today with the goal of pleasing God with your life? In your classes? In your dorm? In your free time? Are you living today contented with what you have? Or are you coveting something you don't have? Do people get more attention, more of your attention, than your Heavenly Father? Are you living with a passion for God? Time is short. Live today with His return in view. Live for God. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this time You've given us this morning. I pray, Heavenly Father, as we consider these truths from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that You'll help us understand the message that Paul was conveying to the Corinthians. And Father, You'll help us have clarity of our purpose so that we have real meaning to life. Father, help each one of us to recognize that Your Son could return at any time. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would live in a way that would please You, pleasing You with our actions, with our thoughts, with every area of our lives. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed in the quietness of the moment. Are you living today with the goal of pleasing God in your life? Did you wake up this morning saying, today could be the day that Jesus could return?
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Doug Jackson, pastor of Community Baptist Church in Saginaw, Michigan. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.